Today I want us to turn our attention to the message series we began a couple of weeks ago called Brand New Day. We've been looking at the life of Moses from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. And today I want to talk to you about fighting battles in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but everybody has some battles. Everybody has some wars that they're involved in. And you know, battles are so interesting because it feels like the moment that you get one battle conquered, there's another one, right? You get one bill paid off, now you got two more. You had a problem over here and you get that resolved, but now you got a couple problems over here. I remember praying a couple of years ago, God, would you just, could I just have a little time to breathe without a battle? And it was in that moment that God reminded me that there will always be battles in life. But what we really need is not to have a life without battles, because that's not even possible. But what we need is to have victory in the battle. We need God to show us how we can win and be victorious when we face big and nasty problems. And so today I want to talk to you about how we can experience spiritual victories in our lives when we have great adversity that's going on around us. And I hope you'll take out those notes there and you can follow along with where we're going today. As a college student, I majored in communications, and if you have an engineering degree or if you're a business person, you'll think that my major was kind of funny because we had to take some really kind of odd classes. There was one class that I took called interpersonal communication. That was the whole class. It's just like how to talk with one person, you know? Some of the wives are like, man, I wish my husband would take that class, okay? But I took another class called nonverbal communication, and you should have seen the lab for this class. I mean, we would just sit around and stare at each other. It was awesome, you know. But one of the things we learned about in the class was that you can communicate a lot of things without words. And one of the ways we can communicate without words, one of the strongest gestures, if you will, to communicate is the lifting of a hand. So if I lift my hand like that, what does that say? Yeah, I'm angry. Yeah, I'm mad, right? That's I don't have to say anything. You know what that means. If I'm sitting in a class and I lift my hand, what does that mean? Yeah, I want to participate in the class discussion, you know? If I'm the potential president and my hand is on the Bible and I've got my hand raised like this, what does that mean? Yeah, I'm taking a vow. Yeah, exactly. If I'm an Olympic athlete, and I'm winning the gold medal and I throw my hands in the air, what does that mean? I'm victorious. Yeah. Have you ever seen the eighth place person throw their hands in the air at the Olympics, by the way? I'm not kidding, and I love track and field. I was having so much fun watching the Olympics recently because over and over I saw this in the men's and the women's. When a runner would get last place, a lot of times they would start limping. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you just wonder, like, how choreographed is that? Oh, I'm going in. I'm like seventh, man. I'm going to start limping. I'm going to start twitching, you know. Oh, I got a hamstring all of a sudden, you know. Nobody crosses the finish line and throws their hands in the air when they're, like, seventh place. I mean, you don't do that. It's a sign of victory. In the book of Exodus, we find a powerful story of hands raised to God. And in this powerful story, Moses teaches us about how we can walk in spiritual victory. I want to turn in our Bibles today to Exodus chapter 17. But before we get there, I really want us to look at Deuteronomy 25 first, because Deuteronomy 25 sets the stage for Exodus 17. And in our first week, we talked about Moses and the burning bush. And if you remember, there was a bush, and the bush, a voice came from the bush. And the bush, the Bible says, was burning, but it was not consumed. And in that experience that Moses had with the burning bush, God told him to go back to his homeland, back to Egypt, and to liberate the Israelites who had been enslaved for 430 years. And we called the message, Feel the Burn, because the message that burned in the spirit of Moses was a word from God that he was to liberate the people. And then last week we talked about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. We talked about how Moses has a desert on both sides of him. He has the army of Pharaoh behind him. He's got the Red Sea in front of him. It doesn't look good. And he lifts his hands and he lifts his staff before God, and the Red Sea miraculously parts. And then as the Israelites go across the Red Sea, the Egyptian army comes after them, including Pharaoh. And then the walls of water collapse and destroy the army. And now today in week three, we find that the Israelites have been liberated. Can you imagine what it would be like to, for generation after generation after generation of your family to be in slavery, and now you are free? And the Israelites are celebrating on one hand, and yet they're exhausted in another way. Look at Deuteronomy 25. The scripture says this in verse 17, "Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came up from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God." And so here Deuteronomy is referring to a story in the book of Exodus chapter 17. And the scripture tells us that the Israelites were going to the land of promise. They were in this desert. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're weary, they're tired. They don't have any weapons. If they do have weapons, they certainly don't know how to use them because they've been slaves for so long. And the Amalekites come around and they attack them from the back. And in the ancient world, the back represented the people who were elderly, the small children, the people that were kind of slow, if you will. And so the Amalekites take out all the little guys in the camp of Israel. And now God says to Moses, "You need to assemble an army. And you need to go take these guys out." It's amazing. The Israelites are worn out here in Deuteronomy 25. And it is often true that some of the greatest battles in our lives will be fought when we are the most tired. When you are the most tired, you're the most vulnerable. You're the most vulnerable. And the same is true in our lives today. I believe the devil wants to rob us of our peace, of our joy, of our sense of fulfillment, and so many other things. And he will prey on us in times of weakness. Is somebody alive today in church today? Come on, somebody talk to me. My goodness. Everybody's just sitting there. Come on. My goodness. All right, victory begins with leadership. Moses is a fantastic leader. The hand of God is on him. Moses is a leader, church. He is. He's a leader. I think the greatest leader in the Bible besides Jesus, Moses, probably. I mean, he's leading over 1 million people. Some people think as many as 2 million people. And he's leading them to the land of promise. He just secured their release from Pharaoh, led them across the Red Sea. Moses was one bad leader. I mean, he was an amazing guy. Look at this in Exodus 17, verse 9. This is what Deuteronomy was talking about. "Moses commanded Joshua, 'Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand.' And so Joshua did what Moses had commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. And meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage." Victory begins with leadership. So Moses says, "Joshua, you're the general. I need you to get some men. And those bad guys, the Amalekites that attacked us, I want you to go take them out. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to the mountain, and I'm going to lift my hands to God." And the scripture says, as long as Moses' hands were lifted to God, the Israelites were winning. But all of a sudden, when Moses' hands got tired and weary, the people began to lose. And what's amazing about this entire story is that it's the very same army that's fighting, but there are two totally different results. You see, if you're going to have victory in your life, you've got to have leadership. You've got to have leadership. In your family today, you got to take up leadership. If you're a parent, you have leadership in the home. And the most important people that you lead is your family. Is your family. Are you asserting your spiritual leadership in the home? You know, I can't make my kids love Jesus. I can't make my kids do the right thing. But I can pray for them so much, I can lift my hands to God, that I can make it really difficult to do otherwise. Amen? See, that's what parents do. That's what parents do. Parents lift their hands on behalf of their family. Say, God, I need you. Moses is a humble leader. The reason Moses was effective is because he was humble. When you're humble, you realize you need God. Sometimes we think great leaders are the people that are just assertive and domineering and nasty. Moses is yielded to God. He is strong, but he is also sensitive before God. And he realizes, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Man, what about in your own personal leadership in your life? Nobody can lead your life but you. Do you know that? You have to make a choice in your life to lift your hands to God. Nobody can do that for you. I can get up here and yell and scream. People can pat you on the back, but nobody can choose to lift your hands except you can. You got to lead yourself, man. You know what? The church has to be led. I spent several years, 9 or 10 years as an associate pastor, but before I became a head pastor, and I've been a head pastor for 13 or 14 years. They all start to run together at some point, you know. It's been a while. I've been here and I've been at one other church as a head pastor. And my job as an associate pastor was to lift up the hands of the senior pastor, what Aaron and her did here. But then I became a senior pastor. And I realized this when I became a senior pastor. There were some things that only I could do. Just like Moses had to get up on the mountain to lift his hands to God, nobody could do that on his behalf. Notice Aaron and Hur didn't lift their hands. Sometimes there's just things that you have to do as a leader. But whatever seat on the bus God has given to you, you have to own it. You got to take it on, because when we begin to abdicate the place of leadership, then the victory begins to slip away. When we begin to assert ourselves into the place of leadership, that's when we find the victory. And Moses is leading. He's not even in the valley. See, a lot of people think that leadership is only getting in the valley. But I want to submit to you today that leadership also requires some time on the mountain. And as lead pastor of Edge Church, there's a lot of times when I can't get down in the valley because I've got to be on the mountain. So I'm not at every meeting. I'm not involved in every crisis. I can't be involved in every situation, because if I'm doing that, I'm only in the valley and I'm not on the mountain. Somebody's got to be on the mountain. And this wasn't Moses' weakness. This was his wisdom. He realized he needed God. If you're going to have spiritual victories in your life, it begins with leadership. It begins with leadership. It also continues with a team. You see, victory requires a team. It does. Moses had an inner circle. He had a guy named Aaron, who was his brother. He had a man named Hur. I like to call him and her, Aaron and her. He had two dudes in his life. You could maybe throw Joshua into the mix. Joshua's the general and the successor of Moses. But in this particular instance, he's on the mountainside with a man named Aaron and a man named Hur. And when Moses' hands get tired, listen, sometimes your hands just get tired, don't they, church? Anybody here ever just get tired? You can be doing the right thing and you're tired. You can be in the middle of sometimes God's greatest blessings, and you can just be tired. The Israelites were tired. God had just performed a miracle. The Red Sea had split open. That's amazing. They were still tired. Moses' hands are lifted. I'm sure after a while, you know, I get a little worn out sometimes just lifting my hands before a few worship songs. And I could imagine several hours of hand lifting with the rod of God in your hand would wear anybody out. And so Moses wasn't bringing his hands down because he didn't want to pray. He was lowering his hands because he was weary. He was tired. Sometimes you just get tired. You need somebody to hold your hands up. And Aaron and Hur were intuitive about this. They found a rock for him to sit on, and he sat down, and then one on one side and the other on the other side began to lift his hands and to help Moses do what Moses didn't have the physical strength to do himself. I want to ask you today, who's the inner circle of your life? Who are the people that are around you that are lifting your hands? Who are the people that are blessing you? That's what the local church is all about. It's about hand lifting. You may come into worship on a Sunday morning with your hands down at your side, maybe doing some of this. But you know what? You get around the right people in your life, people will begin to grab your hand and to thrust it in the air. Who's lifting your hands? Whose hands are you lifting? See, victory requires a team. I hope you have some people in your life that are lifting your hand. That's what the church is all about. I need a volunteer to help me. Darren, come up here real quick. Come up here. Come on, let's give it up for Darren. People are always like, I'm not sitting on the front row. Pastor may call me up, you know. Darren, lift your hands to God, okay? I have two options if Darren's my friend. I can hold his hands up, or I can pull his hands down. What if Darren's trying to put his hands up and I'm constantly saying, Darren, you can't do that. You stink, bro. God's not for you. You're going to fail, man. You can't do it. At some point, Darren's a big, strong guy, but at some point, his hands are going to get weary. If I'm constantly doing this, if I'm constantly pushing his hands down, it doesn't matter how hard he pushes, you're going to get tired. But you know what? I have the awesome opportunity to do something different, and that is to take his hands as my friend and to lift those hands into the air. Amen. And say, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. It's not over. If God is for you, then who can be against you? I want to lift your hands. That's what it's all about. So I got a question today. Who's lifting your hands? And who's pulling your hands down? Because we may need to unfollow some of our friends. We may need to do a little friend inventory today. There may be some friends we need to start tossing out. Because they're always pushing our hands down. Let's give it up for Darren. Darren, thank you, buddy. Good job up here, man. Who's your influencer, man? Who are you unfriending? You got to restructure those friendships, man. I love one of the great scenes in The Lord of the Rings. Do we have any Lord of the Rings fans here today? We got a few? Yeah. There's a great scene. Do you guys remember the scene where Frodo is carrying the ring and he's worn out? And he's laying on the mountain and he can't go any further. And Sam is there beside him and he says, Frodo, come on, we got to keep going to the top of the mountain because we got to destroy the ring. And Frodo says, man, I just can't go anymore. I'm worn out. Because sometimes when you're the leader, it will wear you out. And nobody can carry the ring except Frodo. And Sam says, you know what? I can't carry the ring, but I can carry you. And he picks him up and he throws him over his shoulder. And he takes him to the top of the mountain. That's what Aaron and Hur were to Moses. Moses, I can't carry the ring. Moses, I can't lift my hands like you can. But I can carry you. I can carry you. You know what? As lead pastor of Edge Church, sometimes I need you to lift my hands. Do you know that? I'm spiritually strong, but sometimes I get tired. I do. And as the leader of our church, I want to tell you how you can lift my hands. You can pray for me. You can pray for me. When you pray for me, you lift my hands. When you bring lost, unchurched friends to church, you lift my hands. That lights my fire, man. When I meet people in the lobby, never been to church before or whatever, dude. My hands start going, no, 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 no. You lift my hands. You know, when you serve, when you're here early, when you're staying late, that blesses me. that encourages me. My hands start going, it's awesome. So you don't know that. But I'm encouraged by that. When our church is going through changes and you're not a whiner and a complainer, you bless me. My hands start going up. When you give faithfully, my hands start going up. When the bookkeeper tells me at the end of the month, man, we paid all our bills, we're good, we even had a little extra left over, I start doing like a Holy Ghost type dance. Woo! Lift my hands today. You're giving to our Shake the City building project? Oh. Your faithfulness and your generosity to the church, lift my hands. And I want to tell you, I love you as a church and I love being your pastor because you are constantly lifting my hands. And I hope that you will continue to do so because when you lift my hands, I will lead you better and I will preach better to you. Amen. And I believe that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We're just getting started with what God is doing here. Just beginning. But thank you for lifting my hands. Because victory requires a team. But you know what else? Victory also is a very spiritual thing. Victory is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Look at this in verse 14. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. And I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar there and he named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. And he said, I have raised their fist against the Lord's throne. So now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. I love this part, first part here. He says, Moses, you need to write this thing down. This is the first time that God tells Moses to write something down. I'm so glad Moses wrote this down so we could learn from his leadership, from his battle experience. Amen? Yeah, that's what it is. Write this down on the scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud. Joshua is going to be the successor of Moses. So he's like, hey, you need to get your understudy. You need to teach him because he's going to fight some battles. And we get to that in the book of Joshua. And he needs to know kind of how victory takes place. But victory is spiritual. Victory is spiritual. And see, here's where the confusion happens. This is why we're so tired all the time. It's because we fight battles on one front. The Bible says when you have a battle, there's two fronts of the battle. There's a spiritual front, and then there is a physical front. But people tend to be in one camp or the other. Some people are so spiritual, all they want to do is lift their hands to God. And that's certainly important, and that's necessary. But if all you do is pray, and you're never willing to get down in the valley, then you will never find the victory. So sometimes we got to be up on the mountain, but we also sometimes got to get in the physical details of things, and we got to be willing to do what God has purposed for us to do. Do you see that? It's both. A lot of people will work their fingers to the bone. They will exhaust themselves physically doing what they can do, and yet they won't talk to God for 5 minutes. And they wonder, why am I so defeated? You know, why am I so defeated? So we've got to bring the spiritual and the physical together for victory to happen. But the spiritual side, let's don't miss this, because I think most of the time we are more willing to do the physical than we are the spiritual. There are some things that only God can do in your life. And I love this term that Moses uses here. When he says, his banner over me, the Lord is my banner. Throughout the Old Testament, certain names were given to God to describe certain virtues and aspects of God's nature. And so the Hebrew people would take the word Yahweh, meaning God, and they would add onto that a word that described how God met their specific needs. So in Genesis 22, when Abraham is sacrificing his son Isaac on an altar, and the angel of the Lord stops him, and Abraham's like, I need a sacrifice. And there's a ram that's caught in the thicket out of nowhere. Abraham goes and gets the ram, sacrifices the ram. He names the place, and he gives God the name Jehovah Jireh, meaning God will provide. Amen? Today, God will provide. That's part of God's nature. In another instance in the Old Testament, God is given the name Jehovah Shema, meaning God is present, or God is with me. God is with me when I'm going through the adversity. In this story, Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi refers to God as my banner. Now, what is a banner? I used to think that this passage meant that God was like a flag that we wave, you know? And I've always wondered, like, how is that cool? Like, I mean, like, flags are nice and all, but, like, how does that help my life, you know? And I began to read this passage a little bit more, and I began to understand that the banner was not a flag for Moses, but the banner was the rod of God. It was his staff. And the staff represented the power of God. Do you remember the staff of Moses? Parted the Red Sea. In another instance, he hits a rock and it turns to water. He brings about the plagues in Egypt from the staff. The staff, the rod of God, represented the power of God that was given to Moses by God. In those early chapters of the book of Exodus, when Moses is terrified to go back to Pharaoh, and God says to him, go, and what is in your hand? And Moses says, all I got in my hand is a stick. And God says, well, then I'll use that. Because God can take simple, ordinary things and do extraordinary things through the most simple, unexpected means. Amen? God will use people that are less educated. God will use people that are unexpected to be used. God will use people that are not qualified to do what they are doing because he is God. And so now Moses has this staff, the rod of God over his head, and he wins the victory. And so he gives God this name, God is my power and my protection today. I want you to know today, no matter what battle that you're in, no matter what battle you're in, God is your power and your protection. And that's why we should not lift up another banner, but we should only lift our hands to the living and the great God. And this God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who came and lived a sinless life and then died on a cross and then rose from the grave on the third day. And he did so because he loved you and he loved me. And that's why we can say today, God's banner over my life is power and strength today. I don't know what battle you're in the middle of. I don't know what adversity you're facing today. But remember this. Take up the leadership that God has given to you. Get under the leadership that God has put over you. If you will get under what God has put over you, God will put you over what he has put under you. Get under the leadership. Listen, get the team around you that are going to lift up your hands. If your closest associates are always pulling your hands down, find some new friends. And there's a bunch of people right here today. It's a great starting place. Amen? Yeah. Edge Church is a great place to begin. And then finally, remember that the battle is spiritual. It's not just physical. If you keep looking for the job and you can't ever find the job, let me ask you a question. Are you just putting your resume out, or are you lifting your hands to God and then putting your resume out? We got to bring both of these things together. There's time to get on the mountain and to stretch our hands to God and to stretch the rod of our faith to the Lord and to see his banner over us, protect us, and to lead us and guide us. Would you pray with me?